Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Today we conclude our four-part series on the second coming of Christ. Here's what we've learned in previous weeks. First of all, before Christ returns, false prophets will appear. The gospel will be preached to all the nations. There'll be a large conversion of Jews. And before Christ returns, the Antichrist will appear. People will worship him. He'll compel submission. But at the end, he gets destroyed at the second coming of Christ. Then we learned what happens at the second coming, and that is that Christ returns publicly, he returns personally, he returns powerfully and unexpectedly, and he will raise all the dead imperishable. And then you will be judged by Jesus Christ. He determines where you spend eternity, and those who have trusted him go to heaven, those who rejected him go to hell. And now we talk about the very last thing that happens, heaven and hell. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for anyone watching this program who is on their way to hell, that somehow that you will turn them, even before they go to bed tonight, and bring them to saving faith in Christ. Lord, teach us all now about heaven and hell. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, let's talk about hell. All Christian denominations believe in hell. At least they used to. And I'm going to quote this again. When the Chicago newspaper interviewed Elizabeth Eaton, head bishop of the Liberal Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, "Bishop Eaton, is there a hell?" Her response was, "There may be, but I think it's empty." Well, technically, pretty much all the Christian denominations believe in hell. But we've got a lot of bishops, pastors, and seminary professors who think they are too enlightened to believe in hell. Well, we're going to learn right now, Jesus believed in hell, and he's more enlightened than anybody. So here goes. Here's what the Bible teaches about hell. First of all, hell is a place of fire. Jesus said in Matthew 18, "If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire." Jesus said that. Revelation 20 says the same thing. "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." And people say, well, is it literal fire? Is it figurative? I don't know. I just don't want to go. Next thing the Bible says about hell. Evildoers are thrown into the furnace of fire. Again, this is Jesus in Matthew 13 who says, quote, "The Son of Man will send his angels and will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and he will throw them into the fiery furnace." There's a story of a preacher that was on his way up the hill to preach in his church, and it was a very cold day. So there was a glass factory on the side of the road, so he slipped into the glass factory just to get warm. When he did, they were just opening the furnace of the glass factory, and this heat wave just pushed him back on his feet, and he says, "Hoot, man, what hell must be like?" Well, the story goes that the next day, a man shows up at his church. And he said, "You know, sir, can I help you?" "Well, I don't go to church, but I work at the glass factory. I was behind the door, and I heard what you said yesterday when the furnace was opened. And I don't want to go to hell, and I haven't been able to sleep. How do I get saved from hell?" And the story goes that this Scottish preacher led him to faith in Christ. There's a fiery furnace coming. Next thing to say about hell, Those who have not shown mercy to Christ's brothers enter into the eternal fire. Matthew 25 teaches that the way you treated Christ's brothers, the apostles, the biblical teaching of Christ's salvation, the way you treated that will determine where you spend eternity. Next thing to say about hell. Hell is a place where people weep and gnash their teeth. Matthew 18, Jesus said, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me tell you the scariest dream I think I've ever had. This is back when I was in my 30s. I was a pastor, but I was really being tempted to leave the Christian ministry and to go into a life of sin. And then I had this dream. And in the dream, I died and I went to the gates of heaven. And the gates swung open and this beautiful music flowed out. And this large crowd dressed in white came to meet me. And in the front row was my dad and my brother. And I started to cry. But then in the dream, it dawned on me, I rejected Christ before I died. And I wasn't going to get inside those gates. And I started to wail. And while I'm crying, my jaw snapped shut, and I heard this loud noise in my ears. It was the gnashing and grinding of my teeth. And I woke up, and I thought, maybe I won't leave the Christian faith. Next thought about hell. Jesus sends people to hell. People say, oh, my loving Jesus would never send anyone to hell. Well, listen to this from Matthew 25. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire. Jesus says that. Next thing to say about hell. Hell is eternal. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know Christ and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints. Again, people say, well, God would never send anyone eternally to hell. According to that verse, yes, he does. Many years ago, we brought in an evangelist to speak at the church I served. And he was a great preacher. And he said in his sermon that when he had flown in and he was sitting next to an atheist on the plane. So he starts sharing the gospel with the atheist. And after a while, the atheist says, well, thank you, but I don't believe in hell. And the evangelist said, so? Well, I'm glad your religion works for you. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in heaven and hell. And the evangelist said, so? And the atheist, I think, got, well, what do you mean so? And the evangelist made the point, just because you don't think it's there doesn't make it go away. And just because you don't think God would send people to hell doesn't make it go away. Next thought about hell. Annihilationism is not taught in the Bible. The Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, are annihilationists. They believe if you die an unbeliever, you're just wiped out. You don't go to hell. And when I was about 18, I tried to be an annihilationist, but then I reread the Bible, and every time it talked about hell, I wrote it down. You can't go there. The Bible preaches eternal hell. And the next thing I want to teach, purgatory is not taught. The Catholic Church teaches something called purgatory, that if you die with sin on your soul, you have to go to purgatory maybe for a moment, maybe for hundreds of years, but you have to get your sins purged away and burned off. I don't believe in purgatory, mainly because it's not in the Bible. But the other reason I don't believe in it, if Jesus made full atonement for my sins, why do I have to go to purgatory? It doesn't make any sense. Next thought, let's move on from hell. Let's turn to heaven. heaven. First thing I want to say about heaven, heaven is a place, not merely an inward state. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And some people try to get away from heaven and hell by saying, well, you make your own heaven or hell on earth. It's an inward state. No, it isn't. It's a place you go after you die, according to the Bible. Next thing to say about heaven, nothing unclean shall enter heaven. It is free from sin. We get this from Revelation 21. But nothing unclean shall enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, how does that work? Because we're all sinners. Does that mean nobody goes to heaven? Well, no. This is from Revelation 4. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, because Christ died for my sins, he washes me through his atonement, through his death, so that I'm washed of my sins through Christ's death, so I can enter heaven. And somebody asked once, will we be tempted to sin once we're up in heaven? And I said, no, that's what makes heaven heaven, is I don't have to put up with my old fallen nature, my sin nature anymore. I don't have to battle my flesh anymore. It's gone when you're in heaven. The next thing to say about heaven, and this might surprise you, heaven will be heavily populated. I mean, some people think hell is full and there's just a few people in heaven. And it is true. Jesus says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction and narrow is the gate that leads to life. But many people have gone through that narrow gate. And I get this from Revelation 7. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. There are going to be so many people in heaven, you can't count them all. I mean, think of it. If you include all the Old Testament believers, if you include all the New Testament believers, and all the people that have believed in Christ for 2,000 years, that's a lot of people. Next thing to say about heaven. Heaven will be multiracial and multicultural. We get this from Revelation 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robe, palm branches in their hands. 2,000 years before it was hip to be multicultural and multiracial, the Christian church was. The Christian church was way ahead of its time. And this is why racism is a sin. You're going to spend eternity with people of all races and cultures, so get used to it. Next thing to say about heaven. Heaven has varying degrees of reward. Now follow this. We are saved by grace alone. We're only saved by what Jesus did on the cross. But once we're saved, God gives us the Holy Spirit, and we start doing some good things. And on Judgment Day, God's going to reward those good things. Now, he gets the credit for those good things. He does them through me. But still, even though he did them, I'm going to be rewarded for them. I don't know how that works, but that's what it says. I get this from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says two men are building a house. They both have the same foundation of Christ, but one builds a house with great stuff. The other man builds a house with cruddy stuff. Judgment Day comes, fire comes against the house. The one man with good stuff, he goes into heaven with a reward. The second man goes into heaven, but his house burns up, and it says he's saved only as through fire. In other words, he had the right foundation, he had Christ, but he goes smoking into heaven. So you can go into heaven with great reward, and you can barely make it, but if you have Christ, you'll make it. Next thing to say about heaven, there's no marriage in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 22, in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage. So you will not be married to your spouse in heaven. I know an older lady who really misses her husband, and she talks to him. And I say, you know, you really shouldn't try to talk to the dead, but I think she wants to go to heaven to be with her husband. No. The big deal of heaven is not seeing your husband, it's seeing Jesus, and you won't be married to your spouse in heaven. The next thing to say about heaven is release from all suffering. I have a dear friend who is now in the hospital for 4 months, can't move. He's getting so thin. And I love this verse from Revelation 21. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. In heaven, there's no hospitals. There's no funeral parlors. There's no feeding tubes. Heaven is released from all suffering. Next thing to say about heaven. Heaven has fullness of knowledge. Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now I know in part, then, heaven, I shall understand fully." I think in heaven you'll understand why your 9-month-old baby died. I think in heaven you'll understand how can predestination be true and still God hold us accountable. I don't know. This side of heaven, I don't get that. One day we'll get that. And another thing to say about heaven, heaven has ideal worship. Listen to this picture of heaven from Revelation 7. "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God, and who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne, and they fell on their faces before the Lord's throne, and they worshiped God." Have you ever been in a worship service, and they're singing maybe a contemporary hymn, or they're singing an old, beautiful hymn, and you just get goosebumps? Multiply that times a million. I think that's what heaven will be like. I mean, take this for what you think it's worth, but I remember years ago waking up, and it's kind of like I had heard the music of heaven, and it was so glorious. And I remember the hymn, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." In heaven, we get perfect, glorious worship of the Lord. And the next thing to say about heaven, heaven is perfect fellowship with God. In Revelation 21, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God.'" That's what heaven is, the presence of God. So a Christian man was dying in the hospital, and his Christian friend comes to visit him, and he wants to read the Bible to him, and he says, "Can I read to you the sweetest verse in the Bible?" And the Christian says, "Sure." And John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many mansions." Isn't that the sweetest verse? And the dying man said, "No, keep reading. 'And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.'" And the dying man said, "That's it. That's the sweetest verse. It's not the mansion I want. It's himself that I want." And that's what the definition of heaven is. You're eternally in the presence of your loving, one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here's a poem that I like to read at funerals. It's called "I'm Spending Christmas with Jesus Christ This Year." "I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away that tear, for I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. For I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear an angel sing. I can't tell you of the splendor or the peace here in this place. Can you just imagine Christmas with our Savior face to face? Please let your hearts be joyful and let your spirits sing, for I'm spending Christmas in heaven and I'm walking with the King." The definition of heaven is not the streets of gold or the it's being in the presence of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, you know, I've said this before, but when we're in heaven, I think we're going to look down to our life on earth and say, "Why did I scratch and claw to stay down there?" And you know, if your doctor tells you have 6 months to live, that will be hard on us. We're human. But it's okay. It's going to be great. I love that song that goes like this. "Just think of standing on shore and finding it heaven, of taking a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in heaven and finding it home. All right, one last question about heaven, and this is the big one. How do I get in? Well, the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul that question in Acts 16, and he says, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." That's how you get in. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will go to heaven. And I want to close with this. On April 15th, 1912, the Titanic sunk. There were 2,200 people on board. Later was the newspaper big headline, "Titanic sinks." On the left, in bold letters, "The Lost," 1,500 names. On the other column, bold letters, "The Saved," 700 names. There are only two kinds of people on earth. You were either lost and going to hell, or you are saved and you're going to heaven. Do you know which column you're in? I close with this. 4 years after the Titanic went down, a young Scotsman rose at a meeting house in Hamilton, Canada, and said, "I am a survivor of the Titanic. When I was drifting alone on a piece of wood that awful night, the tide brought a Mr. John Harper of Glasgow on a piece of wreck near me. Man," he said, "are you saved?" "No," I said, "I am not." He replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved." The waves bore him away, but strange to say, brought him back a little later. And he said, "Are you saved now?" "No," I said, "I cannot honestly say that I am." He said again, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And shortly after that, he went down. And there, alone in the night, with 2 miles of water underneath me, I believed. I am John Harper's last convert. The point of today's sermon is there is an eternal heaven, there is an eternal hell. We all deserve eternal hell. So how can we be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, are you one of those preachers who believe a person can live a life of sin and then say a prayer right at the end and be saved?
I put that question in there because my cousin asked me that question. And St. Augustine in the 400s said, if I can quote it here, that there is only one instance of the thief on the cross in the Bible who gets in right at the end so that no one may despair. But he said, and only one, so that no one will presume. And I like the saying, he who waits till midnight to repent often dies at 11:30. So can you get converted 5 minutes before you die like the thief on the cross? Mm-hmm. You sure can, but don't presume on that, because you might not have time to do that before you die. So you get converted now because it's stupid to put it off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do I say to someone on their deathbed to help them go to heaven?
You know what? I was coming here to the studio, gassing up my car, and some young woman, "Hey, are you on TV?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, my mom watches your show." And I had in my car, I have a bunch of these, a salvation track. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes you can't go to Toledo where your mom is dying or something, but you can always mail them a tract. So this is a salvation pamphlet. Just go to the internet, crossways.org or .com. Lots of good salvation tracts. But let's say you can't. You've got to just do it. I say, well, let me explain to you that what's highly important. You're going to die now. We all deserve hell because of our sins. So God came down from heaven and became a human being. His name was Jesus. He lived the perfect life we couldn't, so that if you believe in him, he died for your sins so you could be forgiven. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And if you say, in fact, you want to pray with me and accept Christ, and then if they've never been baptized, I get a pan of water and I baptize them on their deathbed. But that's what you say.
Can anyone baptize?
In an emergency, anybody can baptize. There's never a stipulation in the New Testament that you have to be a pastor to baptize. Nothing's wrong with that. It's good for order. But any believing Christian can baptize.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can people in heaven see us on earth?
You know, I was thinking of that the other day. Can my grandma Losky ever wonder, well, I wonder how Tommy's doing? And will the Lord let her look down on earth? There's nothing in the Bible that says that. So I think the answer to that question is, who knows? Some people think, well, if you can see earth, you're not going to be happy in heaven, and heaven is where there is joy. So that's a possibility that the answer is no. But ultimately, I don't think we have an answer to that question.
Do you think it's possible that we could have a relative that comes to earth and gives us a message? You hear about that once in a while.
You know, Satan can appear as an angel of light. Satan can be very deceptive, which is why we stay away from seances. You don't try to contact the dead. And I don't think so. No, the dead are in heaven or hell. They're not floating on the planet giving messages.
All right. Well, will we become angels in heaven with wings and play harps? And
you know, the people think when you die, you become an angel. Jesus did not say that. He said, when we die, we become like angels in that we're single. We're not married in heaven. But people misinterpret that verse. It never says you become an angel. You become like an angel in that you won't be married. You'll be single.
Okay. Can people in hell eventually be given a chance to go to heaven?
No. And this comes from Luke 16. There's this big divide, and you cannot cross over. I mean, I quoted the liberal bishop of the ELCA Lutherans, Elizabeth Eaton, and her point to the Chicago newspaper was, well, eventually God will get everybody into heaven. It never says that in the New Testament. Jesus talked about people being in hell, weeping and gnashing their teeth, for eternity. So the answer is no, you can't cross over.
All right. Can people be kicked out of heaven?
Hallelujah, no. When you're in heaven for eternity. You don't sin up there because God takes that away from us, and so we're happy for eternity.
Okay. Do we have time for one short one?
One last question.
Will our pets be in heaven? That's a big one. People want to know that.
One I don't want to answer because people get mad at me. Jesus died for the sins of all mankind. I don't think he died for pets. However, it never says that there are no pets in heaven, so I'm just going to let everyone believe what they want on that one, Mona.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today on the Pastor's Study. It tells us in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade. That means our bodies. But the word of our God stands forever. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.